1 John 5:11, God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John 5:11. And Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. Most of you are aware of the fact that we've announced in the Sunday bulletin what the subjects would be. Last Sunday morning, if you'll remember, we had the message from 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, the Lord desires committed hearts. And then we emphasized the message in relationship to the Lord's Supper, supreme majesty, Philippians 2, 9. And then tonight, Solomon's glory and greatness. And that's 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3. One of the things that I realized more and more as I studied God's Word, and that is the importance of approaching the Word of God in a right relationship with Him, which simply means that we all understand the importance of being in harmony and fellowship with Jesus Christ in order to properly receive the Word of God. And so it's becoming more evident to me day by day as I teach and as I study that it is extremely important for us to see the need of being properly related to the Lord, cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, as we open the book and study God's Word together. And so I want to emphasize that again this evening, that this is very, very important. We bow now for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we express our thanks tonight for the privilege which is ours to focus attention upon these eternal truths. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We're responsible for receiving spiritual fuel for our souls every single day. And that's our reason again for being here tonight. And so we pray that in these moments we're studying this evening, that we will be able to have the proper attention given to these magnificent truths. We thank you for your matchless grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of you are aware of the fact that we have been looking at the subject, Jesus, in every book of the Old Testament. Over a period of time now, we have looked at the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, and now we're looking again at 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. If you'll look on the screen, you will see that we've emphasized various aspects in relationship to each one of these books. Genesis, the breath of life. Exodus, Passover lamb. Leviticus, our high priest. Numbers, fire by night. Deuteronomy, Moses' voice. Joshua, salvation's choice. Judges, lawgiver. Ruth, kinsman redeemer. 1 and 2 Samuel, our trusted prophet. And then we have 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, with an emphasis upon Jesus Christ as sovereign. Tonight we're going to begin our reading with verse 1 of the 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. So if you will, please turn in your Bibles to that passage of Scripture. We're emphasizing Solomon. Now it came about when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer, your supplication, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. You will see that we chose verse 3 as our key verse for this evening. I repeat the reading. And the Lord said to him, I've heard your prayer, your supplication, which you've made before me. I've consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Verse 4, and as for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I've commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 9, now verse 6. But if you or your sons shall indeed turn away from following me, and shall not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. So Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and hiss and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? And they shall say, and they will say, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this adversity on them. Tonight, I want to emphasize Solomon. And I want you to be aware of the fact that we're not looking at anything from a negative standpoint in his life, but we're looking at it from the standpoint of the positive side. So, let me begin this evening by telling you that truth antagonizes those who are involved in the cosmic system. What a person thinks in his soul is far more important than what he sees with his eyes. What we're learning tonight as we move into this study in relationship to Solomon, that truth antagonizes those who are involved in the cosmic system. Most of you are aware of the fact that over the years we've emphasized the divine system on the one hand and the satanic system on the other hand. Truth antagonizes those who are involved in the cosmic system. What a person thinks in his soul is far more important than what he sees with his eyes. The evil system of this world is too subtle and too designing and too contriving to be handled by a believer minus spiritual food residing in the soul. The reason why I'm giving you this information at the outside tonight is I want you to see the importance of the emphasis upon studying God's Word and knowing the difference between the satanic system on the one hand and God's system, the divine system, the vertical system on the other hand. The evil system of this world is too subtle, too designing, too contriving to be handled by a believer minus spiritual food residing in the soul. Every day that I study and every time I come here to teach, I'm aware of the fact that what people need more than anything else in the world is the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes I wonder why people show such indifference to the communication and the study of God's Word. The evil system of this world is very subtle and is very designing and too contriving to be handled by a believer minus spiritual food residing in the soul. Which leads me to tell you that we should never divorce ourselves from our source of strength. And our source of strength is God and His Word. That's the introduction to the scripture which we read tonight related to Solomon. On the screen now you see a very brief presentation of, first of all, Solomon, the Hebrew word, emphasizing a king of Israel, described as a prophet, son of David. He's also called Jedidiah in 2 Samuel 12:25, and is described as the third king of the United Monarchy and the final king before the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah split. Now, let me begin this evening by showing you the Bible accredits Solomon as the builder of the first temple in Jerusalem and portrays him as a person of great wisdom, wealth, and power, but ultimately as a king whose sin, including idolatry and turning away from God, leads to the kingdom being torn into two during the reign of the son, Rehoboam. What I've chosen tonight to do is not emphasize the negative aspects in relationship to Solomon, but emphasize the positive side and emphasize the importance of wisdom, because I'm presenting here for you to see that the Bible presents Solomon as the builder of the first temple in Jerusalem and portrays him as a great person in wisdom, wealth, and power. So we're going to look at this wisdom from God. Tonight, what I would encourage you, because I know where I'm going, I would encourage you to be aware of the fact that you cannot take down all the information that I'm going to give. On the other hand, though, I'm going to be sharing with you a number of verses of Scripture. And if you would like, it would be great for you to be able to take the references down as we move through this study this evening. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. God delights to give. In fact, He gives generously and doesn't insult you for asking. Wisdom is not a product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. I analyze this and I want to reiterate. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. I did find this very interesting, and you might find it also interesting, that the word philosophy is an interesting word made up of two words from the Greek, rapport on the one hand, on the other hand, wisdom. So we have philos on the one hand, which is love, or as we've discussed in the past, rapport, and the Greek word sophia or sophos, which means wisdom. So I'm putting the two Greek words on the screen for you to see very quickly. Philos, P-H-I-L-O-S, love, and sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S, wisdom. So I want you to see, and I thought this was interesting, for you to be able to understand that the word philosophy is an interesting word. If you look at it with those two aspects, rapport on the one hand with wisdom on the other hand. Now, wisdom has to be analyzed. And so tonight we're going to start off by saying wisdom is reasoning power. Wisdom is reasoning power. I'm aware of the fact in the study of the Greek word for wisdom, it actually means the application and utilization of knowledge. So I want you to be able to see that wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course. The art of being successful. Wisdom is found, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in human rational thought. Let's go back and look at what we're saying. Wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course. The art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and not human rational thought. God provides everything you and I need for a life of godliness. God provides what is necessary for us to face the trials of life. God provides the searching believer generously in grace. Now, I realize that I'm going over some mighty powerful statements, and I'm doing it quite rapidly. And you'll not be able to remember all of this, but I want you to be able to see that wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course. God has the best course for us in life. The art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and not human rational thought. God provides everything we need for life and for godliness. God provides what is necessary to face life's trials. God provides a searching believer generously in grace. What I've discovered is that there's a powerful passage in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. This is an amazing verse of scripture, and I think you ought to put it down somewhere. And that's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Not only do we find a magnificent verse in Proverbs 4, 6, but look, if you will, at verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Now let me explain what I believe that the emphasis is right there. You cannot afford to miss wisdom. You cannot afford to miss what God has in store. We cannot afford to miss that. And I want you to see that the Bible teaches us that wisdom is available. It is the correct use of knowledge. When I found my way into the book of Proverbs, here's what I saw in the first five chapters. In Proverbs chapter 1, it is wisdom that makes the movement for the believer's life. When I went to Proverbs chapter 2, I saw that it was wisdom that drives us away from disobedience. When I went to chapter 3 of Proverbs, I saw that it was wisdom that gives joy and peace and security. When I made my way to Proverbs chapter 4, I saw again that it was wisdom that gives good judgment and common sense. When I went to Proverbs chapter 5, what was it that I found? It was wisdom that guards the young man from the prostitute. Perhaps you found that, and maybe you read it, maybe you haven't. Now, I think it's necessary for me to tell you that when you go into the book of Proverbs, you're going to find an emphasis on the subject of wisdom. Wisdom is available. It is the correct use of knowledge. Proverbs 1, wisdom that moves the believer. 2, wisdom that drives us from disobedience. 3, wisdom that gives joy and peace and security. 4, it is wisdom that gives good judgment and common sense. In Proverbs chapter 5, it's wisdom that guides the young man's life and keeps him away from immorality. I also found this statement. I don't know who made it, but I think it's a good one. God will not send you away unless you're full of yourself. Now, if you find out who said that, we'll give them credit. But I found that, and I thought it was a magnificent statement that I should just share with you at this particular moment. God will not send you away empty unless you're full of yourself. Now, tonight we have a goal. Our goal is to present to you verses of Scripture that deal with the subject of wisdom. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to do all of this, but I'm going to try. Then I want to move into a facet that I believe is very important for individuals to see. And it is found in my first page of Scriptures that I'm sharing with you. We're calling this wisdom words from Scripture. Job 12, 12. I'll encourage you to look and write down the references. Job chapter 12, verse 12. Wisdom belongs to the aged, and understanding to the old. I want you to know how comforting this verse of Scripture was to me. And I want you to see that it could be comforting to you at whatever age you may find yourself tonight. Wisdom belongs to the aged, and understanding to the old. Job chapter 28, verse 28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And it was at that point when I got to that particular verse, you can see that I highlighted it because I wanted you to see that if time permits, I want to get to the subject that is presented to us in Job 28, 28. Behold, the fear, reverence for the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 37, verse 30. The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. Psalm 37, 30. Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 107, verse 23. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. We want to pause for a few moments on Psalm 111, verse 10. Notice, if you will, it says, the fear of the Lord. This is not the word which means to be afraid. This is a word which means to have awe or reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. It's important for us to see that the Bible is teaching us here, for us to be able to properly live and have proper understanding, is to have our minds captivated with Jesus Christ and our souls captivated with the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fear, awe, reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The next verse is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Notice, please. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. A powerful verse of scripture indeed is Proverbs 1, 7. Awe, reverence of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. We read some of this earlier. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. It's interesting how you can look at verses and then just let them sink in, or you can look at them and pass over and not pay much attention. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Now notice, if you will, please, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. A powerful verse. You have to pay attention to it. If you're not careful, you'll miss it. When words are many, that means a good, big, long talker, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Some of you are going to find that some of these verses you're going to remember. This may be one of them. Proverbs 10, 19. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 11, 2. Proverbs 11, 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11, 30. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Look at that, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword. This should be very important for us to be reminded of tonight. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12, 18. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. That's Proverbs 13, 1. So many of these verses are so powerful that they need to be repeated. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Pride only breeds quarrels, But wisdom is found in those who take advice. That's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. I want to stop and say, please don't go to sleep on me now. I'm reading verses of Scripture that are so magnificently powerful. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. I'll go back and let you see that. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. Proverbs 14, 33. Proverbs 15, 24. The path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. Proverbs 15, 24. Proverbs 15, 31. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. Some of these verses are so unique and some are even funny. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. Proverbs 15, 31. Proverbs 16, 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. Proverbs 16, 16. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24. A discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. How unique that verse is, Proverbs 17, 24. A discerning man keeps wisdom in view. Proverbs 18, 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. How beautiful. Proverbs 18, 4. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Now, some of you may need that. I don't know. But we'll just let you linger there for a few moments with Proverbs 19, 11. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Proverbs 19, 11. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction. In the end, you'll be wise. Proverbs 19, 20. You're saying, are you going to read all the book of Proverbs? No. I'm just wanting you to know that there are magnificent verses in the Word of God in relationship to this subject, wisdom. Proverbs 24, 14. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 24, 14, I repeat, know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 24, 14. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Proverbs 29, 11. Proverbs 29, verse 15. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. A very powerful verse indeed. Proverbs 29, 15. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 13. I thought, wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. Ecclesiastes 2, 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom knowledge and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Very unique verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. For wisdom is a defense, as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who actually have it. Ecclesiastes 7, 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes it its hard appearance. Ecclesiastes 8, 1. Let me repeat properly. Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes its hard appearance. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. I thought you might enjoy that one. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. Now, I notice that you are very uniquely wise in picking up these verses. And I won't make any more comment about Ecclesiastes 10, 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being delivered, saved, it's the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 19 through 21. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Unique play on words, 1 Corinthians 1, 25. 1 Corinthians 1, 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, wonderful preaching can be done on that passage, those passages of Scripture. All I'm trying to do tonight is to emphasize the emphasis on wisdom in relationship to what we have in relationship to Solomon. Colossians 2, 2 and 3, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely, Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. The last verse is James chapter 3, verse 17. Some of you got tired of taking the references down and you quit, and that's okay. James 3, 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. What I've discovered is you and I can be either saturated with God's thinking and be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint, or either we can be influenced by satanic thinking, evil thinking, and as a result of that, go through life and not being able to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. What I have to tell you is that evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. I would encourage you to take down this definition. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth both in belief and behavior. One of the major things that I believe that I need to get over to individuals is to be able to see the difference between seeing things from God's viewpoint or seeing things from a satanic viewpoint. And you and I, if we do not get God's viewpoint consistently and faithfully, the thing we're going to do is that we're going to be seeing things from a horizontal satanic viewpoint. Evil is a system then of thinking that opposes divine truth both in belief and behavior. On the screen I have for you very quickly some words. Evil, for instance, the Greek word kakos, K-A-K-O-S, which is an emphasis upon being opposed to the goodness of character. Another word that is used in the New Testament is the Greek word paneros, which you see on the screen, which is an emphasis of being opposed to divine viewpoint. There's another word that is used in the New Testament. It is the word, Greek word phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S, and it means opposed to divine good. I've said many times from this pulpit, and I want you to be able to see, that you cannot get on your knees and confess evil. You cannot pray and be rid from evil, because evil is a type of thinking. And the only way to get rid of satanic thinking is to get a different type of thinking. So I'm going to ask a question this evening in the light of all that's been given. What is evil? We emphasize deception. The question is, what is evil? It has a distinct technical and categorical meaning in the wonderful Word of God. It is not simply a generic word referring to anything bad or sinful. It is a lot more than that. The word number two refers specifically to Satan's policy as the ruler of the world. It emphasizes his mode of operation from the time of the fall all the way throughout the angelic history. In other words, through angelic revolution and down to the point when he became the ruler of the world. Let's go back and look at this. What is evil? Point one. It has a distinct technical categorical meaning in the wonderful Word of God. It is not simply a generic word referring to anything bad or sinful. It's a lot more than that. Number two, the word refers specifically to the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world and his modus operandi from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and down to the point when he became the ruler of the world. Number three, Satan is opposed to anything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is devoted to distorting or obscuring any truth related to biblical truths. Number four, through evil then, Satan brings about two major consequences on the earth. On the one hand, there's sin. On the other hand, there is human good, which is the motivation of evil, both of which are based on errors in thinking. Number five, self-righteousness combined with human good or sincerity produces a saturation of evil in a nation. This is the major problem in our world today. Self-righteousness combined with human sincerity produces a saturation of evil in a nation. Number six, the reason we study this subject is to learn that man cannot solve problems by human solutions. Did you notice that I put this in capital letters for you to be able to see? The reason why we're studying this subject is to learn that we cannot solve problems by human solutions. The only solution to a human problem is a divine solution. God and His Word presents the answer to every human need. I wish that more people could have heard this tonight. If you will, encourage people to get on the internet and find it, because this is information that every believer needs to hear. Number seven, a person consistently involved in satanic thinking is involved with evil. Notice I want to emphasize again, number 7. A person consistently involved in satanic thinking is involved with evil. Number 8. Evil results in the destruction of society, the malfunction of society, the removal of legitimate authority under divine established laws. Evil results in the destruction of society. Number 9, Satan's original sin was a distortion of biblical concepts. So evil is a distortion of biblical principles and divinely established laws. I'm aware of the fact that this is information that can just go right over your head if you're not careful. Satan's original sin was a distortion of biblical concepts. So evil is a distortion of biblical principles and divinely established laws. When I get tired, I make my print smaller. So I want you to know that I'm tired, but I'm also not through. I want you to see point 10, and you can't read it from where you're sitting, so I'll read it to you. Evil originated and existed before human history with a purpose to have a system to oppose God. He desires to beat Christ to the millennium with an attempt to produce a perfect world. As the world follows that plan, the more degenerated it becomes. Over the years, many, many years of communicating God's word, one of the things that I've tried to emphasize is that there's a system on the one hand that is God's system, and there's a system on the other hand that is the satanic system. I call this the evil system of comprehension or the grace system of comprehension. Now let me quickly draw all this to conclusion. Evil is the name of Satan's policy. If you will, put this down in your thinking and write it down if you will. Evil is the name of Satan's policy. It's classified as good, but it is a good that is dependent upon human activities, so we call it human good. That's the reason why we have the HG there. Evil is the name of Satan's policy. It is good, human good, and evil. Number 2, grace is the name of God's plan, which only goes where it is desired. What always bothers me is that people are not more concerned about getting the impartation and dissemination of God's word. Grace is the name of God's plan, which only goes where it is desired. If you desire the word of God, you can get the word of God. But if you're cold and indifferent, then of course you'll turn your back on the word of God. Evil introduced. Sin and evil were both originated by Satan. Sin was judged and paid for on the cross. Evil was not paid for on the cross. The only way a believer can tell the difference between the two is to see from a divine vertical viewpoint. The reason why more people cannot see God's plan and God's way and understand what's taking place in the world is that they're not looking at it from a divine vertical viewpoint. They're looking only from the standpoint of where they are and have been because they have not been in God's word. They're looking at things from a horizontal human viewpoint. The only way then, number 3, a believer can tell the difference between the two is to utilize God's truth. We've been teaching tonight God's word. Number 4, sin comes out from the source of the old sin nature. Includes things like lying, and that's supposed to be stealing, not dealing. I guess it could include dealing, gossiping, maligning, sins of the tongue, jealousy, anger. Evil comes from the heart, cardia, the thinking part of the soul. Grace is God's genius revealed by means of His Word. And so number seven, we're commanded to be aware of those practicing evil. You didn't think I'd get there, but I'm getting there. Application. Just because Satan was sentenced to the lake of fire does not mean that we can diminish his power today. Did you notice what I have here as application? Just because Satan was sentenced to the lake of fire does not mean that we can diminish his power today. Number two, just because God is more powerful than Satan does not mean that you will choose God's control and be protected from Satan's control. You and I must choose on a daily basis whether we're going to be under God's control or we're going to be utilizing satanic thinking. Number three, Satan's policy or plan of evil can be compared to a layer of ozone, filtering the air we breathe, polluting, smothering, suffocating our physical bodies. The pollution of our thinking is certain unless we're protected by the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what I'm trying to emphasize? The Word of God in our souls. Number four, Satan is very tricky. Filled with propaganda, false news. He has more followers in human good than any other outright sin. Any system which undermines God's perfect setup of divine institutions is evil. Number six, and the last point, it is obvious to most of us here tonight as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that Satan worship is wrong. But that's not obvious to a lot of people because they are captivated with satanic thinking. And the Lord said to him, I've heard your prayer, your supplication, which you have made before me. I've consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. But if you or your sons shall indeed turn away from following me and shall not keep my word, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. So Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished. And they'll hear saying, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and adopted other gods, and worship these other gods, and serve these other gods. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this adversity on them. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Tonight, Father, we've been able to see again your great plan for all of us. And that plan is for us to be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint, not from a satanic horizontal viewpoint. We have been challenged tonight by your wonderful word and the wisdom that has been presented, the application of spiritual truths. We're aware of the fact that you and I, because of our relationship to each other, have been aware of the need of utilizing what you've given to us. And tonight we pray very sincerely that our hearts on a day-by-day basis as believers in Jesus Christ will utilize and apply the things which have been provided for us. There are those who will hear this message who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Their greatest need is to believe and to become a member of that royal family. We know that the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even at this very moment. Point of time. And all of us here tonight and those who hear who are believers in Jesus Christ, help us to understand the importance of receiving spiritual fuel for our souls and utilizing that spiritual fuel on a day-by-day basis so that we can be victorious and triumphant in life. And we thank you over and over again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.